Welcome to another opportunity to study the Word of God with us today, and as we begin to look at God's Word, may there be a prayer in our hearts that we will receive the truth of the Word of God as we seek to make application from these Old Testament passages of Scripture. Will you open your Bibles, please, to the book of Joshua, that portion of the Word we have been studying together for quite some time now, and open them particularly to chapter 23. And as you come to chapter 23, you realize that we are approaching the close of our study of the book of Joshua, because there yet remains only chapters 23 and chapters 24 for our meditation. Now, you will keep in mind that at this particular point, the nation of Israel had been in the land of Canaan some 20 years, actually, from the first time they entered. 7 years of warfare had been accomplished. The army had been demobilized, the people had been assigned to their particular portions in the land, and now they were ready to settle down and occupy the land. But there was something that concerned Joshua, and there was something that burdened his heart, and that was that there were seven nations which had not yet been put out of the land, and it looked as though the nation of Israel was going to be content with less than God's best. It looked as though the nation of Israel was going to be content to coexist with those nations instead of driving the nations out. Because it would seem thus to Joshua, he uttered the addresses contained in chapters 23 and 24. Some people have described the 23rd chapter as an appeal to the leaders of the nation of Israel, and the 24th chapter as an appeal to the rank and the file of people. Some have said that the 23rd chapter represents a sermon for conviction, and the 24th chapter represents a sermon to secure a decision. Of course, there are those whom we call higher critics who do not take this approach to the Word of God and are so bold as to say that the 23rd chapter is the final chapter of the book of Joshua, and the 24th chapter was something that was added at a later date by another hand. We are not going to be interested in all the mere factual things about these chapters as far as the mechanics are concerned, but we are going to do what we've tried to do consistently in our study of the book of Joshua, that is, to learn the spiritual lessons that God would have us learn, and to get the spiritual truths that God would have us get from this particular portion of the Word of God. So I'm going to suggest that we look on these chapters simply as address number one and address number two. Because of my study of the two chapters, I'm going to suggest that address number one represents an appeal on Joshua's part for victory, an appeal for continued victory if the children of Israel were to have all that God would have them have. Will you notice then verse 1 of chapter 23? And it came to pass after a long time, after that the Lord had given rest unto Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua waxed old and stricken in age. And incidentally, you will find, when you finish the 24th chapter, that he was close to 110 years of age. Verse 2, Joshua called for all Israel, and for their elders, and for their heads, and for their judges, and for their officers, and said unto them, I am old and stricken in age. This verse indicates to us that the appeal was made primarily to the leaders of the nation of Israel. And he continued, And ye have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God, he it is that hath fought for you. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, even unto the great sea westward. And incidentally, that would be the Mediterranean Sea. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you, and drive them out of your sight, and ye shall possess their land, as the Lord your God hath promised unto you. And here is an indication of the concern of Joshua that the individuals were content to dwell with the nations. He said, God will expel them, God will drive them out. Now, verse 6. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left, that ye come not among these nations, those that remain among you, neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause to swear by them, neither serve them, nor bow yourselves unto them, but cleave unto the Lord your God, as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. Take good heart, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Now, we're going to stop our reading right there for a moment, because in the paragraph that we read of your hearing presently, we believe there are three rules which enable the children of Israel to possess the possessions, to win the victory, to continue on in the manner in which God intended them for to continue. And if we endeavor to get the spiritual lesson that God has for us, we should expect to find in this paragraph the same three rules for us that will guarantee spiritual victory on our behalf. The first one that we would call to your attention is a need for continuation in the Word of God. Rule number one, a need for continuation in the Word of God. These individuals had heard the Word. Now the appeal is, continue in the Word of the living God. Look at verse 6 again. Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye turn not aside therefrom to the right hand nor to the left. I do not know of a better appeal that I could make to you today than to say, continue ye in the Word of God. Now this may seem an exhortation that does not need a great deal of emphasis, but if you looked at the verse very closely as I read it, you realize that three things are going to be necessary if the Israelites continue in the law of Moses. Three things are going to be necessary if you continue in the Word of God. And the first one that we would call to your attention is courage. Did you notice that the verse began with the words, "Be ye therefore very courageous"? You will not be doing things one time that you do another time. You will be doing new things at times because there will be differences in the schedules that you live. You may find it very easy to observe the Word of God when the ordinary routine of life is being carried out. You may find it difficult to observe the Word of God when you are in new places with new people who do not have the same convictions which you have. And you may find it very, very necessary to be courageous and take your stand on the Word of God, to stand on the Word of God no matter what. One of the saddest things that I have had to face as a Christian in these late years is to see people that one time stood for conviction and are not standing for that same conviction anymore. Individuals who one time believed that certain things were inconsistent with a Christian testimony, letting down the bars and saying now, "Oh, it really doesn't matter. Nobody believes those things anymore." One of the reasons they are letting down the bars is it's becoming increasingly difficult to stand on the old principles. It's becoming increasingly difficult to stand by the old convictions. So let me remind you, if you continue in God's Word, you are going to have to be very courageous. Not only will courage be demanded if you continue in the Word of God, but consistency will be demanded as well. Courage on the one hand, consistency on the other. And I think all will agree that consistency is a rare gem indeed. Will you look, please, at the 6th verse again and notice the words, Joshua 23:6, "Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. Moses, notice this phrase particularly, that you turn not aside, therefore, to the right hand nor to the left. Notice the phrase, that you turn not aside, that you keep, that you do. Notice the phrase first, that you keep and do. We mention consistency again. Not only do you keep in the sense that you observe, you are familiar with the Word of God, but you do what the Word of God says. Oftentimes we can be doctrinally consistent and practically inconsistent. Oftentimes we can know all there is to know about a stated truth in the Word of God, but be inconsistent in the observance of that truth. We are appealing for consistency, as Joshua appealed for it, by urging you to remember that it is necessary not only to keep, that is to observe, to be familiar with, but to do what you find in the Word of God. We hurry on because time is slipping away from us, and so we suggest to you the third thing that is necessary if you continue in the Word is consecration. There is courage needed, there is consistency needed, and there is consecration. That is brought to our mind by the phrase I have already emphasized in the last part of the sixth verse. Turn not aside, therefore, to the right hand or to the left. Many will be the voices that will be appealing to you to turn to the right or to turn to the left. But you, if you are going to continue in the Word of God, must be careful to turn not aside either to the right hand or to the left. Rather, you should keep in mind what Isaiah said, that for every believer, the Holy Spirit will give the guidance and the direction that is needed, because the sensitive believer will hear a voice behind him saying when he turns to the right hand or to the left, "This is the way, walk ye in it." When you come face to face with matters of conviction, when you come face to face with matters of decision, there will be a voice that says, "Turn to the right." There will be a voice that says, "Turn to the left." Many voices, actually, but always, if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, there will be the voice that says, "No, don't turn to the right. That isn't correct. Don't turn to the left. That isn't the right direction. But stay right on the course, for this is what is expected of you." So we say to you, the first thing that is important in gaining victory, in gaining complete victory, is continuing in the Word of God. And if you continue in the Word of God, you must be courageous, you must be consistent, and you must be consecrated. May God make it so in our lives.